Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a fifth man has been arrested in connection with the car bomb explosion outside Bishop Street Courthouse in Derry on Saturday. The potential impact of Brexit and a possible hard border is expected to top the agenda at the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors AGM this evening. A Donegal senator has hit out at the Taoiseach over comments he made about beef and the environment. And paramedics and other ambulance personnel attached to the National Ambulance Service Representative Association will carry out a 10-hour work stoppage tomorrow over recognition. Those stories to follow in full, plus more, and we'll have the latest in sport with PJ Lynch coming up at about 5:15. But first in news, Army technical officers have carried out a controlled explosion on the hijacked vehicle in the Circular Road area of Derry. The van was hijacked by three masked men this morning before it was abandoned. Police say a number of homes remain evacuated in the area and the cordons are still in place as investigations continue. However, the PSNI continue to deal with a second security alert after a Royal Mail vehicle was hijacked by four masked men this afternoon. One of them is reported to have been carrying a gun. The two occupants of the van were ordered to drive it to the Lawnmower Road and leave it there. Local councillor Kevin Campbell has been condemning the incidents.
The entrance to Ballymacallan, there's only one way in and there's 180 homes in that area. That has been sealed off and there's an ongoing security alert there. Also, there's been a van, a post office van, which has obviously been hijacked, but it's now parked across the road in Southway, which is one of the three main arterial routes in the city. This has just caused complete and utter disruption for the residents of this area.
And particularly after the incident on Saturday night, I'm sure many residents are afraid at the moment.
Absolutely, they would be fearful of what could be happen next. So it's a case of everybody's worried of what's happening, and to be quite honest with you, there's nobody in any way in favour. This is absolutely disgraceful. It's disrupted the entire area, and these people need to get their head around this. Absolutely wrong.
Meanwhile, a fifth man has been arrested today in connection with a car bomb explosion outside Bishop Street Courthouse in the city on Saturday. The 50-year-old was arrested under the Terrorism Act. Four men arrested yesterday in connection to the attack remain in police custody at this time. The Bishop of Derry and Raphoe, Ken Good, says it's clear that there is no place in society for such acts.
Carnage. It was very near young people. Lots of visitors as well, and I just think anybody who could have the mentality to do that, or anybody who could support them in doing that, I frankly do not understand. The mind behind this attack, it may have been partially motivated by a desire to separate and divide, but the voices of condemnation that I've heard right across the community from every possible angle is one of outrage and condemnation and disapproval, and there's a unity in that disapproval. If I was to speak to those who were responsible and to anyone who ever thought of supporting them or giving them encouragement, it would be that if you saw how close you came to having blood on your hands and to having the loss of life for which you were responsible, you would never, ever consider doing it again.
The potential impact of Brexit and a possible hard border is expected to top the agenda at the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors AGM today. The Deputy General Secretary of the AGSI, Antoinette Cunningham, will be meeting with local Gardaí this evening. She says she is keen to hear from them and what concerns they have surrounding Britain's exit from the EU.
Really looking forward to heading to Donegal this evening to meet the members of Sergeant and Inspector rank from all around the Donegal Division. And we'll be discussing all matters local policing and, as you rightly said, Brexit.
From your own point of view, Inspector, do you feel that Gardaí here in Donegal are adequately resourced and prepared for all eventualities and possibilities that Brexit may offer in the coming months?
Well, I know that some meetings have been going on in Garda headquarters with management, but I want to hear from sergeants and inspectors exactly what their concerns are, because they're the ones who are interacting at community level all of the time. And they're the people who are going to be very well aware of the issues that the Brexit and its implications are going to raise for them and for other members up along the North West. So I'm really looking forward to this meeting, and I'm really looking forward to hearing about the issues.
Meanwhile, the British Prime Minister says she never considered reopening the Good Friday Agreement. In her Brexit Plan B statement to the House of Commons this afternoon, Theresa May ruled out a second referendum and extending Article 50. She added that she will be speaking to MPs, trade unions and business groups to find the broadest possible consensus on a way forward. The UK leader acknowledged that concerns around the backstop need to be addressed.
With regard to the backstop, despite the changes we have previously agreed, there remain two core issues: the fear that we could be trapped in it permanently and concerns over its potential impact on our union if Northern Ireland is treated differently from the rest of the UK. So I will be talking further this week to colleagues, including in the DUP, to consider how we might meet our obligations to the people of Northern Ireland and Ireland in a way that can command the greatest possible support in the House.
A Donegal senator has hit out at the Taoiseach over comments he made about beef and the environment. Last week, Leo Varadkar said he was eating less red meat in a bid to lessen the impact of climate change. However, this stance has led to a major backlash from a number of rural TDs. Some argue that the comments made were hugely damaging to the beef industry. Senator Padraig McLaughlin says given Fine Gael's approach to the industry over the years, the Taoiseach is being hypocritical and he should be trying to support struggling farming families instead.
40% of family farms have gone over the last 20 years in the west of Ireland, and one in three young farmers have been pushed off the land in the last 10 years. So what they've been doing in Fine Gael is destroying the traditional family farm model, pushing farmers towards this intensive sort of big farm or ranch farm operation, which only serves the interests of the meat factories and supermarkets. So it's sheer hypocrisy to come from the leader of Fine Gael.
Do you think then the Taoiseach has been hypocritical in his comments over eating less red meat?
No, absolutely. And I mean, there are sustainable farming models through, you know, the family farm model, through farming cooperatives, that look at organic meat, be it lamb or beef, that look at other organic food options. There are all sorts of avenues, but that has never been supported by Fine Gael governments. They have encouraged poor prices, appalling prices for pork, beef, lamb, right across the sector, never confronted it and allowed this intensive farming model that is bad for the environment to prosper. So they are the cause of this model and the solutions. They've never supported farmers in Donegal and Ireland to do that. So sheer hypocrisy from the leader of Fine Gael, and very hard to take, particularly for farmers in Donegal who rely so much on the beef sector.
Paramedics and other ambulance personnel attached to the National Ambulance Service Representative Association will carry out a 10-hour work stoppage tomorrow over recognition. NASRA, which is affiliated to the Psychiatric Nurses Association, says the HSE has not responded to invitations from the Workplace Relations Commission to talks in a bid to resolve the dispute. NASRA says by refusing to accept them as a union, 500 members are being denied their right to be represented by the union of their choice. Local spokesperson Tina Martin has described the HSE stance as irresponsible, particularly in terms of discussing contingency arrangements for tomorrow's dispute.
We have referred the matter to the WRC for conciliation services, but again, the HSE have yet to agree to engage in this process. The HSE to date have not engaged directly with us regarding our industrial action. Our industrial action has been ongoing since October. I think it's fair to say that we have endeavoured to prioritise the welfare of the public during all of this time. At the minute, we have put in place significant contingency plans to ensure there's minimum impact to emergency cover on the day itself for the strike action. I have a question whether the HSE interest in the welfare of the public is as apparent as ours is. They have not consulted with us regarding our contingency plan. They have only consulted with the legal team. It doesn't clarify a lot of issues. This is coming very close to 7am tomorrow morning, and as yet, they have not contacted or negotiated with us.
Meanwhile, all elective surgeries and outpatient appointments will be cancelled in hospitals on days of strike action by nurses. No agreement was reached following 3 hours of talks between nursing unions and the HSE earlier. 43,000 nurses and midwives will begin a series of strikes from January the 30th in a row over pay and issues in recruiting and retaining staff. The dispute is now being referred to the Workplace Relations Commission. General Secretary of the Irish Nurses and Midwives Organisation, Phil Nihay, says there will be a bare minimum level of cover in hospitals.
All elective procedures will be cancelled. The timing of that is what we were discussing this morning. All outpatients, all elective surgeries, the employers understand that once nurses withdraw their labour, they cannot cope with anything other than the bare emergencies that will be required to be provided in the health service.
It's been revealed that just two derelict sites are currently registered in the Letterkenny Municipal District. The two sites in question are situated in Remelton and Fannet, with none registered in Letterkenny Town itself. The low number has caused concern that not enough is being done by the local authority in assessing buildings in the area. Councillor Jerry McMonagall says it's clear that Donegal County Council do not have the resources to paint the real picture. He's calling on them to do more.
One only has to walk about this town to see how many abandoned buildings there have been, and they have been for decades. The many abandoned houses there have been, and if some have been again abandoned for the last 15 years. So I'm really surprised to see that in the derelict sites register that they have in Lifford, that there's only two properties in the Letterkenny Municipal District, and none of them are actually in Letterkenny. It's amazing.
And why do you think that is? Is it a case that the owners aren't living nearby, or...?
Well, what it suggests to me is that the council aren't putting the work into it. That they haven't got the personnel to go around and monitor what is a derelict site. I mean, the ordinary man, woman in the street, I'm sure walking down Letterkenny Main Street would see a derelict site. They've been seeing them for years. They're there. They haven't gone away. And there's a number of other through the time of the crash and all that have become derelict sites since. And yet we're doing nothing about it. We're not... taking them down, we're not registering them as derelict sites, and I think it's something, and I welcome also within the answer they give that they're now under the Letterkenny area plan, which we're putting together at this period of time, that we're going to put some time towards that and identifying derelict sites within the town of Letterkenny, and that they're going to be brought to a meeting for discussion, and I look forward to that. But I just find it almost unbelievable that we have only two derelict sites on the derelict site register in this municipal district, and none of them are in Letterkenny.
Sport on Highland is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, hosting an ASICS representative in store on Saturday the 26th of January from 12 to 4 with top tips and advice on running.
It's now 5:15 and time for the latest sport with PJ Lynch.
Thanks, Michaela. We'll start with soccer, and three Donegal men started their UEFA Pro Licence course with the FAI today. New Charlotte boss Jim McGuinness, Finn Harps assistant manager Paul Hegarty, and Ireland schoolboys manager and Harps coach William O'Connor are among the 19 strong group, which also features former Republic of Ireland internationals. Robbie Keane, Damien Duff, Keith Andrews and Andy Reid also begin their 18-month journey to achieve the highest coaching qualification under the European body. Former graduates include Paddy Bonner, Declan Devine, Ollie Horgan and Peter Hutton. The Republic of Ireland's women's national team suffered a narrow 1-0 defeat to Belgium on Sunday. Donegal's Tyler Toland started the tie in Spain in her first game back from a knee injury. Amber Barrett was a second-half substitute, coming in for Emily Kraft in the 76th minute. Huddersfield Town have appointed Jan Siewert as their new head coach. The 36-year-old joins from German club Borussia Dortmund to replace David Wagner, who left the club earlier this month. Siewert's also held coaching roles with Germany's international youth sides. He takes over a side sitting bottom of the Premier League, and Republic of Ireland legend Kevin Kilbane says it's a big ask to keep them up.
They look doomed, don't they? I have to say that. It's going to take a remarkable turnaround in results and performances. I think they've got to play a different style of football if they're going to try and win points. I think largely when I've watched Huddersfield over the last two seasons, it's been about containment rather than actually say, well, look, you can generate a great atmosphere here at the John Smith Stadium. Let's get at teams. Well, and I don't think they've done that enough.
In Gaelic games, Red Hughes were beaten by Eastgee of Sligo yesterday in the All-Ireland Junior Club Football Championship semi-final by a goal and 8 points to 9 points. It was a game that the Sligo and Connacht champions led from the 7th minute, and the fight back from Red Hughes early in the second half was stopped by a goal with 15 minutes left in the match. Red Hughes captain Gerard Mullaugh said the goal was the killer blow.
The goal killed us. I still can't believe we could still do it, you know, but wasn't there the day, you know. It's hard to explain. They kept the ball very well and they made us work very hard to get it back, and kind of it's just tough for both teams, you know, when you're chasing the ball and you can't get it back for a while, it takes a lot of the legs.
And you can hear more reaction from that game in the sports section of our website, highlandradio.com. In rugby, Ireland head coach Joe Schmidt has lost two of his locks for the start of the Six Nations. Ulster have revealed that Ian Henderson will be sidelined for several weeks with a finger injury sustained in their weekend win at Leicester in the Heineken Champions Cup. The province say it's a fresh injury and not related to his recent thumb surgery. It follows Munster's Tadhg Byrne being ruled out of the games with England and Scotland after hurting his knee in the Reds' victory against Exeter. Quinn Roo has been called into the squad, bringing Connacht's representation to 6. Adam Byrne has travelled with the group for their 5-day training camp in Portugal following a knock sustained by Andrew Conway at the weekend. And finally, in tennis, 7-time winner Novak Djokovic is through to the Australian Open quarterfinals. It took 5 sets for him to get past Daniil Medvedev, with the match finishing after midnight in Melbourne. Serena Williams is through to her 50th Grand Slam quarterfinal after getting past world number one Simona Halep in the women's draw. That's all your sports news here on Highland this evening. Your next sports update is tomorrow morning after the 8 o'clock news. But for now, it's back to Michaela.
Thanks, PJ. And returning to some news, the Irish Natural and Health Farmers Association are to hold a rally in the Clonry Hotel in Letterkenny this Friday. It's in response to proposed changes in the next round of COP payments, which they say will have a huge impact on farmers in the next 6 years. The group have concerns around new conditions that farmers will be obliged to adhere to in order to get their basic payment. Henry O'Donnell is National Vice Chairman of the INHFA. He says farmers need to raise their voices to ensure new payments are done fairly.
There's a lot of discussions currently ongoing in Brussels about the next round of the CAP, and this is a huge issue for farmers in Ireland and especially obviously in Donegal going forward, as to what farmers' payments are going to be for the next 5 or 6 years and how farmers are going to be paid. We feel there's huge issues going forward that these payments have to be done fairly, and that farmers in Donegal will stand to gain if they stand up and represent themselves and make a bit of noise now till we get some fairness into these payments.
But is it a case that farmers in Donegal and further afield feel like they're not being listened to by the EU?
I think a lot of farmers in Donegal feel that they haven't been well represented, both in Ireland and in Europe in the last number of years, because the last review of the CAP, there was actually proposals from Brussels that would have brought an extra 28 million into farmers in Donegal, and it was actually some of our own authorities actually objected to that, and we ended up that we didn't get that money. That's where our battle lies, is to get fairness at home. The money is there, but how it's distributed is the issue.
Plans to bring the old courthouse in Letterkenny back to life are progressing, with Donegal County Council confirming its intentions to relocate staff there later this year. The historic building has been closed for over a year now, with legal services moving to new premises on the High Road area of the town. The potential use of the vacated courthouse has been a major talking point. However, the local authority has also stated that it's engaging with Fáilte Ireland with a view towards housing tourism facilities within the building. Councillor Kieran Brogan says that's hugely positive.
I suppose I'm always anxious to try and get progress on these things, and where we can get additional support, I think for an interpretation centre or whatever, I think there's huge potential there. It's the heart of the town, and there's so many different things that I believe can happen there, so many different organisations that I believe can make a contribution to that area as well, so I look forward to working closely with the council to try and see this project over the line.
And finally, the President has described the first all as an act of defiance against an international superpower. A special sitting of the Oireachtas is taking place today to mark 100 years since the Dáil first sat. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe has more.
We We solemnly declare foreign government in Ireland to be an invasion of our national right, which we will never tolerate. And we demand
a reenactment of the statements from the first Dáil, when the first independent Irish Parliament sat, with President Michael D. Higgins leading proceedings.
It was an act of defiance against an empire that ruled over vast territories and diverse peoples. An assertion that sovereignty belonged not to the Crown, but to the Irish people alone.
34 of the 69 elected Sinn Féin TDs were in prison at the time the first Dáil sat. Count Corda Sean O'Farrell says it was a fascinating time in Irish history.
What a number of weeks it must have been to be alive in Ireland. History and politics, cheek by jowl through the wet winter lanes and alleyways of Dublin.
That day, Cathal Brua was elected as the first Ceann Comhairle. His grandson, Cathal McSweeney Brua, spelt out some of the reality of the time.
Cathal arrived at this meeting on a bicycle because his wounds from battle in 1916 made walking difficult.
The commemoration continues this evening with a joint sitting of the Dáil and Shannon. Sean Defoe at the Mansion House in Dublin.
The night tonight, the rain will soon clear eastwards and it will be very cold with scattered wintry showers of rain, hail and sleet and some snow showers, especially on higher ground. Lowest temperatures of minus 2 to plus 2 degrees with frost forming and ice on untreated surfaces. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a fifth man has been arrested today in connection with the car bomb explosion outside Bishop Street Courthouse in Derry on Saturday. The 50-year-old was arrested under the Terrorism Act. Meanwhile, Army technical officers have carried out a controlled explosion on the hijacked vehicle in the Circular Road area of Derry. The van was hijacked by three masked men this morning before it was abandoned. And a second security alert is also underway in the city after a Royal Mail vehicle was hijacked by four masked men this afternoon. The two occupants of the van were ordered to drive it to the Lawnmower Road and leave it there. The potential impact of Brexit and a possible hard border is expected to top the agenda at the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors AGM today. The Deputy General Secretary of the AGSI, Antoinette Cunningham, will be meeting with local Gardaí this evening. And a Donegal senator has hit out at the Taoiseach over comments he made about beef and the environment. Last week, Leo Varadkar said he was eating less red meat in a bid to lessen the impact of climate change. However, this stance has led to a major backlash from a number of rural TDs. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. You can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website, highlandradio.com. We'll be back with an update again at 6 o'clock. Until then, good evening. The obituary notice is for this Monday evening, January the 21st. The death has taken place of Anthony O'Halpin, Glencar, Letterkenny. Viewing at the Eternal Light, Chapel of Rest, Mountaintop, Letterkenny, this evening until 7 o'clock. Remains reposing at his home tomorrow from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St. Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny, followed by burial in Cornwall Cemetery. House private on the morning of the funeral. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desire to the Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Jim McGlynn, funeral director. The death has taken place of Kathleen Peebles, Oxbridge, London, and formerly Leyden Fanid. Her remains will repose at the family home in Laddin Fanid from 6:30 tomorrow evening. Requiem Mass will be held in St. Columbus Church Mass Mount at 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Rosary each night at 9 o'clock. The death has taken place of Neil Harkin, the Square Moville. Removal from Carndonagh Community Hospital Chapel of Rest this evening at 7 o'clock going to his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:45 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St. Pius X Church Moville, followed by burial in Ballinacrae Cemetery. Family time please from 11 p.m. until 11 a.m. Family flowers only please, or if desired, donations only to Carndonagh Community Hospital Patients Comfort Fund, care of Liam Collins funeral director, or any family member. The death has taken place of John McBride, Upper Kilmacleugh, Creeslaw. Remains are reposing at his late residence in Upper Kilmacleugh. Funeral Mass in St. Michael's Church, Creeslaw on Thursday morning at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in Doe Cemetery.
The death has occurred of Jack McFetridge, Glencar Road, Letterkenny, formerly Portrush, County Antrim. Jack's remains are reposing at his home today until 8 o'clock. Fiona, from there tomorrow, we're going to Conwall Parish Church for service of Thanksgiving at 12 noon. Interment afterwards in Gortley Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations to the Heart Failure Support Services at Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, Funeral Director. Family time before the funeral tomorrow morning, please. The death has taken place of Bridget Wilson, Nae McClure, Cairn Garrow, Glenvar. Remains are reposing at her home. Requiem Mass on Wednesday morning at 11 o'clock in St Mary's Star of the Sea Church, Glenvar, with burial afterwards in Glenvar Cemetery. Family time from 11pm to 11am and on the morning of the funeral. Rosary each night at 10 o'clock. The death has occurred of Tim Boyle, 5 Rossgear Close, Rossgear, Lifford. His remains are reposing at his home until 10 o'clock tonight and tomorrow from 11am until 10pm. Funeral leaving his home on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Murlock, Lifford at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Family time on the morning of the funeral, please. The death has occurred of Sarah McCartney, née Connolly, 2 Sydney Terrace Derry and formerly of Garva, Ahiarn. Sarah's remains are reposing at her late home. Funeral from her late home tomorrow morning at 9:30 for Requiem Mass at 10 o'clock in St Eugene's Cathedral, Derry. Interment afterwards in St Patrick's Churchyard, Ahiarn. Family time please from 10 o'clock to 11am. The death has occurred of May, Mary Kennedy, née Waugh, Kilrea and Glenties and formerly of Frosses, County Donegal. Her remains are reposing at her late residence in Kilrea and Glenties. Removal from there tomorrow morning at 11:30 to St Connell's Church, Glenties for Requiem Mass at 12 noon. Burial afterwards in Kilrea Graveyard. The death has taken place of Kathleen McGinnigan, Ard O'Donnell, Letterkenny. Kathleen's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral tomorrow morning in St Junan's Cathedral, Letterkenny at 10 o'clock, with interment afterwards in St Columba's Church Cemetery, Kilmacrenan. Family time please from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only. Donations in lieu of desire to Hillcrest Nursing Home Comfort Fund, care of any family member. And the death has occurred of Eileen Sweeney, Lacaina, Burtonport. Her remains are reposing at her late residence. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock in St Columba's Church Acres, interment afterwards in Belcrutch Cemetery. House private please from 11 o'clock tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, donations in lieu of desire to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Sean McGlynn, Funeral Directors.